Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hallelujah. We're talking on faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. A faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report, a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The things that you see are not made of things that are visible. Now, when you build a house, you take timber which is visible, and you build a house which is visible. So you build something visible from something that's also visible. If you build a floor of concrete, you get cement, you can see the cement, you mix it and you pour it. So you build what we build something from what we see. When God created the world, He created the world out of something that you can't see. That does not mean that God built the world out of nothing. God built the world out of something. It's just that we can't see it. God did not go to somewhere and get some raw material and then take that raw material and fashion the planet. No. God, the Bible says, created everything that you see out of a thing called faith. The Word of God. Are you okay? And we shared last Sunday night that faith has two pillars, substance and evidence. Faith is a substance of things that you are hoping for. It is the evidence of things that right now you can't see. And we say that substance is something that has materiality. It's something that you can grab a hold of. But you can't grab a hold of faith. You can see its results, but you can't grab a hold of it physically. So if faith is substance, it must be substance from another realm. If faith is materiality, it must be material that you get from a realm that you can't see. Must come from another world, if you like. And we said, that substance comes from the realm of the Spirit. And how it comes, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing. And when you hear God, that substance is deposited into your spirit. And when that substance is there, you can declare things that people will think you're crazy, but you're not declaring it out of you having a wishful thinking. You're declaring it out of your heart because now you've got substance in there. Are you okay? You can talk to me if you want to. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you've got substance that's called faith, and you've got evidence that's called faith. Let me try and think of how I can relate that. The reason you use illustration is because illustrations make the truth simple to understand. It also makes the truth very desirable. It's like somebody that likes to eat fatty food. It makes it delicious. Hallelujah. So, God tells you He's going to heal you. And everything in your body says, you're sick. You've got substance because God spoke to your heart. But you also need to have evidence.
Hello?
So you've got substance and evidence. Before the fact, you've got substance because God spoke. And evidence because God spoke. Now, you know what this book is? It's a book of evidence. Now, evidence, there are two things that happen. If you observe an accident, you have to turn up as a witness. So you turn up as a witness in a court of law, and you give your testimony that I saw this accident, and Dave Coleman was driving this way, and somebody else driving this way, and it was his fault. Now, that's a witness. But if I can't turn up to the court of law, I can write my testimony and send the testimony in my place. Now, they don't have to see me. The testimony I wrote takes my place, but the testimony is what? It's evidence. Are you all right? Now, I always try and say it this way. If I write to my mother in Samoa, and my mom's passed away now, if I write to her and say, Mom, on the 20th of December, I'm going to come over and spend Christmas with you. So she gets a letter, and the moment she reads it, she doesn't believe it. Is that right? But the moment she reads it, she said, whoa, he's coming for Christmas. Now, when she believed that, substance comes in. Assurance, security, he's coming. Now, she can't see me, but she believes that I'm coming. Substance is in her heart, and then she has a letter. And she will go and say to her neighbor, my boy is coming for Christmas. How do you know? You know what she says? I've got evidence right here. Now, I'm not there. She can't see me. But there are two things she has. And the reason she believed what I said is because we have a relationship. If you don't have a relationship with God, God may shout in your ear. You don't believe that. You never have substance. Why? Because you don't trust Him. Trust in the Lord with half your heart and lean on your understanding. That way you'll always get there. Isn't that right? No, trust in the Lord with all. And don't lean. It doesn't mean to say that you shouldn't have understanding. You should have understanding. But the Bible says, don't lean on your understanding above God. Lean on God. Are you okay? If you're going to catch this, you'll never be the same. You're going to learn to live by faith. Hallelujah. So every time, you know, God speaks to you, that you're, I'm going to heal you, or you're healed, and you have substance in your heart, but everything in your body tells you you're not. Excuse me. I had a condition. I had a sinus condition that was so bad. It wasn't even funny. I'll go to the doctor just about every week, every fortnight, and old Dr. Stanleyland will say, how many days do you want off work, Mr. Isaiah? I said, I don't want days off work. I want to get healed. He said, well, he can't get healed. I said, why not? He said, because you've got fungus growing in your sinuses. I said, how do you get rid of it? He said, oh, you can scrape it off. I said, can that be done? He said, no. It's never been done before. But we have to open your sinus, scrape it off if you want it. So you can't get healed. Just have to suspend it with a medication. And where I lived in Christchurch, 181 Peterborough Street, if you come into my room, it's just flooded with medication. Because I would have bleeding nose after bleeding nose after bleeding nose. And my record at work was so red, so bad, because I'd take days off work to try and get healed. I got saved. Started to read the Bible. Devour every Christian literature I could find. Read my Bible avidly. Can't go anywhere without my Bible. And then I came across Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. And then I read His benefits. Redeems my life from destruction. Crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. Forgives all my iniquities and heal half my diseases. And when I read that, something, phew. And when I did, I said, okay, if that's the case, from now on, I declare that I'm healed. Now, it's good to declare you're healed, but every symptom of sickness is so powerful, it's like the enemy comes and magnifies it. So every time the pain comes, I'll go back to that verse. Then God will add other verses like 1 Peter 2:24. Himself took our sin on His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. And I'll read those and the symptoms will still be there. After 3 months, the symptoms disappeared and they've never come back. Well, they did try once. After 10 years of being healed, tried to come back. And I had to go to bed and ask God to get rid of it, because I knew it was a counter attack from the devil. And it was 3 days. If Jesus conquered death for 3 days, I thought, well, it'll take me 3 days to get rid of this. And it's never come back. But substance and evidence. Now, that old girl in Samoa will begin to dictate what goes on because her boy is coming over. Now, if my little brother writes to her, guess what? She'll do absolutely nothing. Why? Because she also has a relationship with my little brother. And my little brother, many times he says something just to say something because he thinks it's funny. And I've got a pastor friend like that. He tells you something and you'll only believe it when it turns up. Why? Because I have a relationship with him. Now, my mother will repaint the house, decorate everything, and hire a bus to go to the airport on the 20th. She'll pay the fee for the bus so that her and some others can get to the airport to get me. Now, has she got me? No. But she spent money to hire the bus, paint the house, kill a pig, kill some chicken, cook some taro, had a umu, had all these things. You know what? I'm not even there. All she's got is substance and this evidence that's probably now quite dirty because she reads it, oh, here he's coming. And then she turns up at the airport. And somebody will say, Mrs. Acera, what are you doing here? Oh, my son's coming today. How do you know? Got evidence right here. See, the evidence takes my place until I turn up. This takes the place, whether it's healing, financial lack, you have to go to this evidence and stand on the evidence until the reality turns up. Is this clear? And then she sees me walk down the thing and her tears. She no longer needs the evidence. Because the real thing has now arrived. Are you okay? Faith is substance and faith is evidence. Now a lot of people said, how do you know Jesus is coming again? I've got evidence right here. I can't see him. Though eyes haven't seen him. I love him. We said that this morning. I love him completely. We know he's coming again because every time we share communion, we quote what Paul said. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes again. That's just what, there are thousands of evidence that Jesus is returning. Now, when the enemy comes against you, guess what? The enemy is coming against you. Jesus said he is. Jesus said, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If Jesus said the devil's coming, that means what? The devil's coming. He'll come to attack you, destroy you, and kill you. The devil will kill you. No, don't ever think that the devil fights fair. But then Jesus said, but I'm coming. So there are two people coming. The devil's coming and the Lord is coming. He said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. The devil's greatest weapon is deception. He lies to you. So you turn up and things don't happen the way you think. And the devil says, see, I told you. That's what he did to Eve. God's trying to hold back on you. If you really want to be like God. Now, the amazing thing, they were already like God. They were made in the image of God. So they were sold to a lie, and they sold everything, got nothing in return. But the enemy will come, and the enemy will lie to you, until you give over to the enemy and get nothing in return. But if you will stay put and stand on the evidence that God has given, Jesus is coming to give you life and life more abundantly. A lot of people think that, God is here and my fulfillment is here. How stupid can you get and still breathe? Your greatest fulfillment is God's will. When you connect with God that created the heavens and the earth, it brings the greatest fulfillment into your life. And we travel quite a bit and seen some very nice sights. And New Zealand is full of beautiful sights. You go to Rakaia Gorge by Methven there, next to Ashburton at the back of Garfield. Now, you don't know where that is if you haven't been there. But you can stand there and look down that gorge and you will be amazed. And it's almost like you're selfish looking at it by yourself. You want to get the whole church. Look at what God had done. But hello? And you marvel at that, and then you think God's holding out on you? Why is it you climb a hill, and you get way up in the hills, and you say, wow, I've never seen that flower before. Now, what's the flower doing up there? It's waiting for you to turn up, so that you can be blessed looking at it, and yet we think God's holding out on us. Every morning, God will open the curtain. The sun comes up. A new day begins. The birds began to sing. The engines of the car began to toil. And you get out of bed. You have breakfast. You go to work. Now tell me anybody who can do that every day. Nobody but God. And yet we think God holds house on us. And I don't believe in God. Why? Because many times we are sold to the deception of the enemy and live halfway from God's best. I met a man in Auckland. It wasn't in Auckland, it was in Northland. And this is what he said to me. I've been a pastor for 32 years, and I've never drawn a salary from the church. I've got a very small church. And I thought, who are you trying to impress? God came to give you life and life more abundantly, and you live in abject poverty, and you're teaching the church to live that way. How are you ever going to build something for God? You think God is poor? You think God is poor? Try to create a snowflake. I mean, think! Are you all right? Try to create the scent of a flower. You think God's poor? We can't impress God. I wanted, but he was an old man. I honored him, respected him. But I wanted to say to him, listen, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Get out of it! Are you okay? Hallelujah. So, the thing with evidence is this. You can have evidence before the fact, and you can have evidence after the fact. But faith has to do with what you see and what you can't see. And the Bible says, faith is the substance of your hope. And the reason your hope brings you shame is because many times your hope is just wishful thinking. If I look at Romans chapter 5, are you all right? Is this okay? Romans chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, you're justified before God just because you trust what he's done. If you try to justify by your works, you will never be good enough to work any work that will justify you. You're justified by just believing in God. You're justified by faith. And then you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How do you access grace? By faith. See, grace is there's no bigger word than the word grace. Everything that comes from God comes by grace. But how do you access grace? You access grace by faith. Trust. Hallelujah. And then he says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Now, I haven't got time to talk about you, to talk about tribulation to you tonight. We can talk about that as we carry on. All right? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, or perseverance character, character hope, 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 hope. Faith is a substance of hope. How do you get hope? It's out of character. How to get character out of perseverance. It says hope. And then he says this. Now hope does not disappoint. Now how many know that's wrong? Because most of our hope disappoints us. Why? It doesn't come to pass. Why is that? Because we don't understand the working of faith and hope. Faith is the substance of your hope. And if you don't know that, hope will always just, well, I was hoping, well, I was hoping, well, I was hoping, well, I was hoping, well, I was hoping. But it disappoints. This hope that you have, when you understand the working of hope and faith, the hope that you know and understand from here will never, ever disappoint you. You know, other translation says, this hope does not make us ashamed. And many times our hope has shamed us. We're hoping for something, nothing happens. We're hoping for something, nothing. It brings us shame. And we're almost scared to declare anything because our hopes and our dreams always come to nothing. It brings us shame. But the Bible says, when you understand this, it says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. Now, hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And you see this, it's the same thing. Paul is talking about faith, hope, and what? Love. By faith, we access grace. Hallelujah. We joy in tribulation, producing perseverance and character and hope, faith, hope. Hope does not make us ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's faith, hope, and love. Are you okay? But look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Starts with faith. Add to virtue knowledge. Add to knowledge self-control. Add to self-control perseverance. Add to perseverance godliness. Add to godliness brotherly kindness. And add to brotherly kindness what? Love. Starts with faith. Finish with love. And then it describes hope in the middle. Are you okay? Hallelujah. I was praying one time and seeking God. And God said to me, go to Samoa. Now, he didn't tell me what for. One of the greatest attacks on our faith is our logic. And sometimes we believe our logic more than we believe God. How many know it's illogical to walk on water? How many know it's illogical that walls will come down when you walk around it? It has no logical explanation. All it is God tells you to do it, and you do it. Now, God said, go to Samoa. I thought, go to Samoa, yeah. Yeah. What do you do when you go to Samoa? You go book a ticket. So I went and booked a ticket and travel agent, and the guy said, you need to pay your fare next Friday. I said, fine. That's nice when you don't have any money. What is the thing you're doing? You're walking by faith. You got substance. You got evidence. Where's the evidence? Philippians 4:19. God supplies all my needs according to His riches in glory by your bank account? No, by Christ Jesus. So I went and asked him, is any of you put two tickets for me and my wife to go to Samoa? He said, yes. Had to be paid next week on Friday. I said, fine. So I applied for leave. I was still working at the time. Applied for leave to get some leave, and leave came through. That was great. And praying for some money to pay our fare. And then I had to go and apply for some money to take traveler's checks. That was all right. Except I don't have any money. Only thing I have is substance, evidence. Prayed. And so I said to the eldership of the church, we're going to Samoa. And one of the elders said, I'll pay your fare. I've got oodles of money set aside. And I said to him, I'll let you know when I get back from work tomorrow. And I was going to work that morning. And this is what God said to me. I never told you to tell anybody that your fare's not paid. Your fare's already paid. Now, right there, you separate. Because literally, the fare's not paid. Spiritually, the fare is paid. What is that? See, when substance comes in, the Bible says you can call the thing that is not as though it already is. And Jesus, and I asked God about that because I saw that truth in the Old Testament, but I never preached it. Even though I saw it in the life of Abraham, and I never preached that truth. I said to the Lord, I will never preach that until I see it in the New Testament. And one day, it was years later when God began to open my eyes to that truth. And when he did, I was amazed. Every miracle that Jesus performed, he called a thing that's not as though it is. Right from the beginning with the miracle of the wine and the water, he said to them, dish it out. Now, what did they dish out? Water. What did he do? He called a thing that's not, he called a wine that was not there as though it is already there. And when the governor of the feast took the first glass, he yelled out, how come you left the best wine till now? You call a thing that's not there as though it is already there. And when God tells you your fare is paid, your fare is paid. Now, when I declared my healing many years back, I called a thing that was not as though it already existed. I still had symptoms of the sickness, but I had already called a thing that's not there as though it's already there. Do you understand what I just said? And God said to me, I didn't tell you to tell anybody about your fare. I've already paid your fare. I said, fine. So I got back. Now, here is me in the flesh, really now very, very nervous. You know why? Because everything that you see, the sight, everything by sight says nothing. It's not there. But when you quiet your head and your sight and begin to walk by faith, you get so excited. So I rang the guy up and said, it's all right, our fare is paid. That was fine. I said to my wife, I'm going to the shop to get me a can of herrings. If you want to bless me, buy me a can of herrings. So I went there and I met the mailman coming the other way and said, I've got a letter for you. And the letter had no stamp. It was just my name on the letter. And I went into the shop, got me a can of herrings. And this thing was in my swan dry. And it was burning, so I pull it out and open the thing, and there was a check inside for $2,500. And the glory of God came upon me, and I had to grab the shelf, otherwise I would have got slain in the shop. And I started to cry, and I went home, and my wife said, what are you crying for? And I said, oh, and I gave her the thing. She looked at it, she started to cry, because she was asking me question, am I coming? I said, well, God said we're going. So this is Tuesday now. Have to pay the fare on Friday. So got to work on Wednesday morning. I banked the check. Fine. Friday come along. I went to withdraw the check to pay the fare. I got there and the lady said, Mr. Essera. Now, you have to excuse. I'm a Samoan boy. I did not know these transaction things. She said, Mr. Essera, you can't withdraw that check. I said, why not? She said, the check has to be in here for 5 days. 5 working days for the check to be cleared. So you can't take it out. And I have to pay the fare today. Mr. Barry Conlon, who was the bank manager, Now, he didn't even know why I was there. And I don't know who talked to Barry, because Barry was sitting right at the back there in his own desk. And he saw me at the front counter, and a lady was talking to me. And Barry got up. It's just like somebody was guiding him. Barry just got up, came over to the counter, pushed the lady aside, punched two buttons on the computer, and gave me the money. I didn't walk across, because Mr. Nuff's office is opposite the bank on the other AA travel. And the bank is here, and John Nuff's office, on John Nuff is the bank manager. I didn't walk to John's office. I floated. I got there and I paid the Hello? Hallelujah. And God said to me, well, you know you're going to take such and such an amount of money. I said, yeah. He said, go and apply and double that amount. Well, when you just had a miracle. All right. So I went and applied, and this is me now. You know, sometimes, you know, you think you walk by faith, but you're not. I applied at this bank for a certain amount of money to take. Now, I didn't want to go to the same bank in case I don't get it. So I went to another bank. At least I won't be so embarrassed. But to cut a long story short, the money came in. I got traveler's checks from this bank. I got traveler's checks from this bank. We went to Samoa. And we were on a ferry going to Savai'i. That's where Fia and Mom and Dad were pastoring in the church in Savai'i. And it was raining. And the ferry was so full, we were standing at the rail right at the back of the ferry, holding on to the rail, and the rain was coming. And I said, Lord, can you just stop the rain so we won't get wet? You will not believe this. The boat was going. The rain is falling. It was falling about 5 meters from the boat. All the way there, it just fell there. And as the boat is just, and it just fell. And we were looking at the thing, standing there, hands on the rails. And the boat was going, the rain was also following the boat, but it was 5 meters from the boat. We never got wet. It was awesome. We got to the other side. We hop off the ferry, got in a bus. And we got to Fia's parents' home. And when she saw us, when he saw us, her father cried and said, I ask God to bring you home. Because I'm farewelling the church this coming Sunday. We arrived on a Thursday, paid our fare on Friday, and we traveled the following week. We arrived at their home on Thursday. And he was not well, and he was retiring from ministry because of his health, had a stroke. And he'd been praying. He'd been praying in Samoa. I've been praying here. I was just praying to just seek the face of God, and God spoke to me. But he was praying and asking God, God, my firstborn is not here. When we came to make a covenant with this church, my whole family was here. And everyone is here today, and we're going to farewell them this coming Sunday. Told God the day they were leaving. But if there is a way you can bring my firstborn home, I'll be so grateful. God, he was praying over there. And, hello? How many know God's good? So, he farewelled the church on Sunday. We left, get all the stuff. We went back to town in Apia. And following week, we went to American Samoa just to visit some of my family. We preached at the prison, and a prisoner got saved. And you think, God, you're such an amazing God. You get all this orchestrated so that an old man's prayer is answered and a prisoner could get saved. Hallelujah. When you learn to live by faith, there's no other way to live. Because every time you walk with God, everything is an adventure. And it's an amazing thing. Remember one time we were in American Samoa and a storm started up. And they said, well, I guess you won't travel now. I said, why? The planes are not flying. I said, they'll fly at 2. They said, why 2 o'clock? I said, because we were supposed to leave at 2. 2 o'clock came. The storm died. We flew, landed on the other side. The storm started up again. When you learn to live by faith, you're going to be a blessing to others and an offense to other people. Hallelujah. But whatever it is, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When it comes, it brings substance and evidence. Hallelujah. I think I should finish. What do you think? Everyone's going, I'm not a talking machine. I already preached this morning twice. Hallelujah. Amen. That's, you know, we'll carry on with that until it makes sense, because sometimes it doesn't make sense. If you're looking for sense, it may not make sense, because you're not walking by sense. You're walking by faith. You're walking with a set of truth that is not what you know. The Bible says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not my ways, your ways are not my ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways high. When you live that way, and the Bible says you overcome the world. Amen.